All right, that's number five. Let's do number six here, and then we'll maybe take time for any questions that you have here. Question number six. Do the four Gospels tell the same story, or do they contradict one another? Friends, absolutely. The four Gospels are complementary, not contradictory, though they definitely and deliberately approach the life of Jesus from varying perspectives. Let me show you a chart, and I want to tell you a little bit about this chart as you take a look at it, and we'll talk about it piece by piece. This chart, the four Gospels side by side, and I'll show you the second part of the chart in a moment. This was a chart prepared by the best Bible college teacher that we ever had at the Bible College in Germany. A dear man who has since gone on to be with the Lord, a man named Jeremy Kirby. And he prepared a great book, New Testament Overview. And this stuff is on my mind because this chart, God willing, I think there's going to be no problem with. This is going to appear in the study Bible that I'm preparing because it's just such a great chart. And you could see how he details in this chart Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They emphasize different portrayals of Jesus. The Messiah King in Matthew, the Servant Redeemer in Mark, the Son of Man in Luke, and the Son of God in John. They had different original audiences. Matthew, the Jews, Mark, the Romans, Luke, the Greeks, John, to all humanity. Different key words, different key verses, different literary styles. Different distinctive tones. I think this is very insightful. Matthew is about fulfillment of the scriptures. Mark is action-packed. Jesus is very busy. Luke is very into presenting a historical thing. And John is very reflective upon the person and words of Jesus. You can see that in the different Gospels, they have different percentages of how much of the content of the Gospel is actually spoken by Jesus. And then you'll notice, not surprisingly, Matthew has more Old Testament quotations than any other Gospel because he's presenting Jesus as the Messiah King. So I find that all very fascinating. You see, each one of the Gospels is distinctive. God wanted Matthew to produce a gospel and to do it for the Jews. He wanted Mark to do a gospel and to present it focused more on the Romans, Luke more on the Greeks, and John to do his own thing for all humanity. This was very much in the plan and purposes of God, not contradictory, but complementary. Now, somebody will say, no. I think there's places where the Gospels contradict themselves. They'll say, you know, in one gospel, it says that when Jesus went through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, he healed a blind man. And in another gospel, it says he healed two blind men. Aha! Friends, you know, the emphasis on different things in the biblical accounts is actually, I think, evidence for their truthfulness. Real life with real people telling real stories, it can get messy. People see things from different perspectives. You've heard the stories of people seeing traffic accidents from different perspectives. And some people, well, this happened. And every story is individually true, but they're seeing it from different perspective and emphasizing different things. Look, I think that all the supposed contradictions can be understood through that lens. Now, a guy who I've really loved his teaching, especially with the sort of emphasis on revival, was the late Dr. J. Edwin Orr. And he used to tell a story about these girls at a college, and they all decided to go out against the rules. There was some kind of curfew or something like that. And they went out against the rules and were just going to go out and have a good time. And they came back really late from their thing, and they got in trouble by whoever was monitoring such things at the dormitory. And so the leader at the dormitory, the house mother, whatever, called them into the room and said, "Well, can you tell me what happened?" And one of them said, "Well, okay, I'll tell you what happened. We got a flat tire. And we couldn't make it home, and that's why we were so late. That's why we broke curfew." And the house mother said, "Is that true? Did you guys get a flat tire?" Yes, house mother. We got all four girls. Yes, we got a flat tire. And so they, again, great story from J. Edwin Orr. I don't even know if it's true, but it's a good story. And then the house mother says, okay, I want you all to go back to your dorm rooms. I want to speak to you one by one. And then she spoke to them one by one. And there's just one question she asked me. She said, which tire went flat? Well, of course, it would very evidently bring up a contradiction in the story. Now, all that to say this. When in one gospel it says two blind men were healed at Jericho, and another gospel says one was healed, the two do not contradict the other. Now, if the gospel said one and only one blind man was healed, that would be a contradiction. But to say one does not contradict there being two. To say two does not contradict there being one. It's just different emphasis. Maybe, and again, this is all conjecture, maybe one of those blind men was really loud and really obnoxious, and the other one was much more reserved, and so one of them was much more prominent. And the gospel account notes that one. Or maybe it was something else altogether, why one emphasized one and the other one just says there's two. But there's no contradiction, just simply a complementary account. Now, let me show you one more chart. This is the bottom chart of this excellent chart by Jeremy Kirby. This compares the synoptic gospels to the Gospel of John. You see, the gospels are divided into two categories. The gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call them the synoptic gospels. Syn, mean together, S-Y-N. Optic, meaning see, they see together the life of Christ. They have the same basic approach to the life of Christ. John, writing after all of them, basically says, hey, you know what? You guys did a great job with that. I'm going to do something different. And you can see the general characterization of the synoptic gospels. They're historical, chronological. John, he's theological. The geographical emphasis of the synoptic gospels, Jesus is in Galilee in the north. In John, he highlights Jesus' ministry in Judea and Jerusalem. The thematic emphasis, kingdom of God, heaven. In John, it's eternal life. You can just see how there's significant and interesting differences between the two. I like the one, the predominant teaching form. In the synoptic gospels, it's parables, but in John, it's the use of allegories. There aren't parables as such in the same way that there are in the synoptics in the Gospel of John. So again, this just shows you God's intentional differences between the gospels, not contradictions. These slight variations in the gospel accounts, they argue for their reliability, not against their reliability. So here's what we're going to do now. That's the end of the question. Pastor Tommy has a microphone in his hand. And he's going to go around like a game show host and just say, come on down.
Now I'm holding
Where's
the mic.
Your question?
And I'm not letting you hold the mic.
That's right.
That's just how that
yes.
works.
That's right. That's
the trick.
Yeah.
Any
Hosting
questions?
101 right there.
One of the things that I love about what you've been sharing with us all night is just when we get to look at the dynamics, each dynamic through all six of these questions, we realize that what the world loves to do is make any area they can in the Word of God gray. They want to have a gray area so they can come up with their own scenario surrounding it, or it justifies their own sin. And so to be able to hear Pastor David articulate in such a great way and give some clarity surrounding this closes that gray area and says, no, you know, the Word of God is the truth. And straight through it, and when we believe it according to the way in which you teach it, boy, there's a firm foundation for our feet and a great promise and a hope that we can put our heart in. And boy, it leads us in the right direction. So thankful for all you did. Any questions at all? Anywhere?
Okay, here we go. I see a hand.
Coming right down the aisle. Okay.
Okay, so mine is, hang on, I got to go to my notes. Sorry. I'm not prepared. Oh, Gus. Pastor Tommy, stop. You're putting pressure on me. Way more than I already feel. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm just going to go off memory.
So you do.
When
okay,
I was in sixth grade, which, of course, that was
just a
long
years
time
ago.
But there was a story that my teacher told me in public school about how a scientist who was a Christian always had this, like, internal dilemma And so I just found it fascinating when you were talking about how that was God's way of keeping it all concealed, was for scientists to be able to go discover it so that they could actually be closer to Him. But it seems like in today's world that it seems like that most of the scientists where they had that internal moral struggle before, it doesn't seem like that is the case with the majority of them today.
Yeah, maybe so. There's plenty of scientists in the modern world who believe, and especially historically. We believe that this amazingly intricate universe has a designer. And that's not crazy, that's very logical.